Much of what we consider to be male ego is based on long-held assumptions and stereotypes about masculinity, and it's a reflection of self. And the moment that that's threatened, we react to defend ourselves. So that's why I think that's what happens to us. When we're thinking about how masculine we need to be, and we're thinking about our respect and our pride, as soon as that's touched, it's like, no, you've touched my ego, bruv. I'm not a prick. I'm not a prick. I'm not a prick. I'm not a prick.
This is Talking to My Thoughts.
Welcome to Talking to My Thoughts, the podcast where we have open, honest, and raw conversations about the things that are playing in our minds. And my name's Simon, aka SJ. I'm a video creator, I'm a father, and I'm a business enthusiast.
And my name is Craig, aka Mr. Positive, a cheesy motivator with big dreams and a passion for helping people find and maintain their peace.
Yes, yes. And we are thankful today to be joined by our guest, Aaron. Please introduce yourself.
Yeah, I feel like lesser in comparison to you two. You two got some big intros. I like it. But my name is Aaron Roach Bridgman. I'm a TV presenter, a documentary maker, a poet, and I'm also a behavior specialist.
Mad.
That's a lot of pieces
thank you
in itself.
So much.
As well.
I know.
Don't gas me up.
He's trying to be humble. Thank you. So obviously in this podcast, we bring a unique perspective on our inner thoughts by literally pre-recording the things that are on our mind before talking about them amongst the group. Now, we do this because we believe before you can be open with others, you first have to be open with yourself. Now, make sure you guys stay updated and follow us on our socials at Talking to My Thoughts. Now, today's topic is, am I a dickhead? We're talking about male ego. We're talking about ego. So when we're looking at ego, it's defined as basically yourself. It means I in Latin, which I actually didn't know. It means I. So for you guys, when we're talking about ego, what's the first things that come to your mind when we address that word?
For me, our greatest enemy.
It's hard because I've got many different interpretations of ego. But when I think of it, initially, when you hear the word ego, I think what you think is, it's like, I guess, the fuel that some people use to believe in greatness, in their greatness. I know it's a bit controversial, but, there is something in that.
That's deep. Nice. I think, yeah, when I originally thought of the word ego, for me, I almost think about insecurity.
Okay.
And I think that's the word that just pops up to me. When I'm thinking about someone who has a big ego or someone that's egotistical, I almost think there's an insecurity behind that. And that's just how I address it.
So, that's interesting.
Cool. I know. We'll see where we get a little bit further with those word associations. But we'll dig a little bit deeper by going into our first pre-record. I'm happy to pull up Aaron's one. Aaron, we'll have a listen. Craig, pay attention to the words that come out of Aaron's mouth. We'll see how we go. And then we'll open up the conversation, man. So let's go.
Yeah, ego is an important attribute of all people that we need to get under control. Like, personally, when it comes to ego, I've always tried to minimize mine down to a minimum. There are positives of egos. Like, you know, ego can also equate to confidence, I think, where you have more confidence in your craft and you bring more confidence to what you do. But I think ego can also be detrimental, where you start to believe in the hype. You start to believe in the hype of yourself. You start to move in reflection of the hype, and you can lose yourself and you can start to believe everything that is said to you. You see me, I'm a person that compliments kind of go through one ear and come out the other. The things that do stay with me more are the criticisms. I'm very self-critical. I try to improve upon the things that could be better rather than focusing on all the things that people think are great. So for me, the minimizing of ego has always been something that is at the forefront of what I do and who I am. I'm not going to lie and say that I do not have an ego. You know what I mean? Like, I guess to a certain extent, anyone that steps in front of camera or in front of an audience needs to have some sort of ego, self-belief, or supreme confidence in themselves. But I think that for me comes more from what I do as opposed to who I am. I don't have in my head that I'm some sort of special, superior being. But what I do have is that an understanding of blessing. Every opportunity is a blessing. To do what I do is a blessing. Like, I'm not special, I'm not great. but I've been blessed with the opportunity and I need to do the best with that I can, and also set the best example that I can, so those things take the forefront more for me than some egotistical way of being. And that's what I would say about that, to be honest.
I guess it's interesting, like, going, I always love, like, hearing people's thoughts about it, because I almost think that if somebody hasn't even thought about it for long, they always go through this journey where they're like one person and then they, by the end of it, they're another person. So at first you actually mentioned like your ego was almost your, like a friend, something that you use. And then it becomes actually, it's not really ego. It's more self-belief and doing stuff that you are setting the best example, where you actually have to put your ego in the back seat, which is what I think a lot of people have a confusion about, is that they think that their ego is their friend because it's what drives them. But actually you can have drive without being egotistical about it, in a sense.
But I think, do you know what it is? I think that the word ego and egotistical are different. I think ego doesn't always relate directly to you being egotistical. That for me, ego and I think self-confidence or self-belief are almost synonymous. Almost. I know it's different, but I think when you become egotistical, that's because you're full of too much ego. But I think there can be a certain level of ego that you can possess that allows you to have confidence, but also allows you to have humility. I think when you have too much ego, that's when you become egotistical. Because what's happened now is that the ego has inflated too much. The ego is taken over and there's no humility left, if that makes any sense.
But that's the piece. You see that post that you said inflated. So you can have self-belief. This is where you are, self-belief. But when you inflate it, where you're almost beyond what you actually believe in yourself, then you're now starting to, you're almost like overreaching into other places, in a sense. So yeah, I think that key word that you said is inflated is a key part. Simon, what's your thoughts on that?
The interesting thing I picked up about that, and I guess it kind of goes back to partly what you said as well, is when you first mentioned ego and you tried to build what kind of definition that is for you, what struck it for me is the same way you can apply it to an emotion. When you have anger, you can have anger and generate it in a good way, or you can have anger and generate it in a bad way. So that's what kind of connected with me a little bit, is that how you then apply ego into how you operate through life. And then I guess you expanded upon that when you talked about self-belief and then having confidence. Now, for me, again, when I associate that word ego, I picture it almost negatively. And I don't know if that's the right way to go about it, because obviously you've come from a perspective of you can have it as confidence. Do we really need to be what egotistical or have an ego to be confident? Do we need to have an ego? Is there a possible way of being confident without having an ego?
The definition of ego is self-esteem. Is the possession of self-esteem, or I believe it's I think it's self-esteem or self-importance. Yeah. So I think even just in the definition itself, it shows you it's almost giving you like a positive and a negative word for what it can be. Self-esteem for me is not something that's negative. It could be a positive thing. Self-importance, though, however, can be something that's very negative. And I believe that ego is just as fragmented. I believe that ego, like I said to Craig, I said I think that ego kept in the right state or kept at the right level can be something where you just express self-esteem or self-confidence. But I feel that with ego, I feel like the reason why we think of it as negative is because we think about the word egotistical straight away. We think about the negative connotations that's associated with someone who is who's got a big head. You know what I mean? I think when we think of ego, we think of big head. They're synonymous. Or he's got a big head. You know what I mean? He's full of himself. But if I'm really, really honest with you, it's only when you asked me this question today that I thought about the word ego. I haven't actually spent much time to consider the semantics of the word ego before. It's only since you've asked me today the question where I've been like, okay, ego. And I just spoke kind of freely. But once again, once I've thought about it, I still maintain my opinion. I still think that ego, because ego comes from a Latin word, right?
Yes.
Comes from a Latin word, yeah? And it means what again?
I. It means I.
Exactly. Who am I? Have I got too much ego? Have I got too much I? Is there too much of me? Am I too full of myself? Or is my I at a level where I can give you confidence, but I'm also, I've got enough humility to display to you that actually I am not so much caught up in my own belief of myself that I can't hear what you're saying as well, or I can't take in well, actually, Aaron, you're really good at that, but you could do this as well to be better.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I think I is very important. I, who is I? How much I do you have? Craig, how much I is in you? Is Mr. Positive all about I? He's not. Mr. Positive is about we.
Mm.
You understand? You've got the right level of ego, humility, and understanding. I don't know. Maybe I'm going off tangent, but this is how I see it in my mind.
No, it's good.
We never ever say we would diminish our ego, we will get rid of it. There is a part it has to play. So the level of it is actually control.
Mm.
So yes, ego may translate straight into I, but then you still have to have I before you can have we. Like without you, you can't actually give anything. If you don't have yourself, then you can't pour into anybody else. So actually you still have to have it. But if you have too much of it, it will only be about you. It will almost be like, well, what would I think? What would I need at this time? What would I do? Yeah. And then that just gets you lost in a sense. So, I agree with you in that sense. And it's good that you explained it because, yeah, it's like, yeah, we never ever say, oh, we're just going to get rid of our ego. Like, obviously, it was given to us and it's a part of us for a reason. So, actually, what is necessary is control. And I guess that'll kind of feed back into my voice recording as well for how I've been able to learn about ego.
Mm-hmm. Just before you jump into yours, Craig, sorry to cut you off. There was one thing that kind of stuck with me, or one thing that I picked up, and I actually want to read it for you guys just to get your opinion on it as well. Because obviously when we're talking about this topic, we're not just talking about specific ego in terms of confidence, but essentially when we're talking about male ego and the society that we live in, a lot of it is fueled negatively. Like when we're talking about, am I a dickhead? Like that's the thing. As soon as your feelings get touched, as soon as your ego gets touched, that's the first thing that comes out of your mouth. Am I a prick? Like what do you think this is? Exactly. And it's about, like, you're essentially looking at respect, you're looking at pride, you're looking at those things. Now, one thing I wanted to pick up on, which I'll mention, is that much of what we consider to be male ego is based on long-held assumptions and stereotypes about masculinity. And it's a reflection of self. And the moment that that's threatened, we react to defend ourselves. So that's why I think that's what happens to us. When we're thinking about how masculine we need to be, and we're thinking about our respect and our pride, as soon as that's touched, it's like, no, you've touched my ego, bruv. I'm not a prick. How do we flip that to be more of a positive thing? How do we control those scenarios? What do we do?
What is happening is expectation. You have an expectation as to how people will speak to you, how people will treat you, and how people are going to say something to you. So because of that expectation, you are setting yourself up for a letdown. Because you know what? We probably have abuse thrown at us all the time. It's like somebody coming up to you, Sam, and they say, oh, you're a black man. You're like, a duh. Kind of but if they say you're an angry black man, then you're like, rah.
It's true still.
But the thing is, if you was peaceful about yourself and you didn't have that inside of you, you'd be like,
what are you talking about?
Then you walk away.
Mm.
So then that's again, the attack, what you're saying is probably pretty interesting because you're saying it's an attack. But actually, that's why I said to you that ego to me was your greatest enemy, because a lot of it is actually inner conflict. It's not actually much to do with the world at all. The world is just going to be the world as it always is. Actually, a lot of it is to do with inner conflict. A lot of it is actually to do with the fact of you are unsure about yourself. So you're trying to tell the world, no, look, I want you to talk to me this way. And then you need to make sure you don't say this to me, or you don't do this to me, and then I'll be okay. The lack that you have inside yourself, you will basically overcompensate on the outside.
Mm.
So you're overcompensating on the outside, trying to fill yourself in. So when you're trying to, I don't know, like somebody steps to you on the street kind of thing, you could just walk away. But you know in yourself that if you walk away, you have a feeling in yourself that you look like a dickhead. It's true. But the thing is, actually, if you just knew for yourself that you're a grown man, I don't know, or I have children, this is petty. What's the point of me even getting into this? They just want to express themselves. You could just walk away.
That statement that you initially read, Simon, kind of like resonated, because I think, I didn't think about that, but when I think about the context and how the word is used and how it's meant, a lot of times you might hear, like, I'll speak to my female friends and they might speak about rejection of a man, and they might talk about, I bruised his ego.
Yeah.
I hurt his ego. And that's why maybe the response that the man gives back is he's always a little bit disrespectful, when it doesn't need to be. But it's because, once again, they say the ego has been bruised. And I think the ego is something that can be hurt and bruised. You know what I mean? But that, for me, comes more with those whose ego level is maybe too high. I'm in a relationship now. You get me, yeah?
Say no more.
But when I wasn't, if I was to approach a female and she was to respond with some form of not, you know, disinterest or not interested, that's fine. I'll tell her to have a good day and I wish you well.
Mm.
Keep it moving. Some men can't take that because, once again, I think maybe their machismo or their masculinity or over masculinity has been wrapped up in their ego, which is a dangerous combination.
Right. I think that's how I picked up the word. That's why when I heard the word ego, I initially associated with insecurity. And I think that's where it played into. It's like,
100%.
Because you act upon that and the way you react to your ego, you essentially are insecure because as we're talking about, you're confident. You need to be confident in yourself. You need to be able
to... Some of the most egotistical people are the most insecure. 100%.
There you go.
100%.
Because again, I kind of talked about, it's the lack inside of themselves. So they're overcompensating on the outside. So that egotistical is just the overcompensation of what they don't have inside of themselves. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, man. Craig, let's go for yours, man. Let's see what you got to say.
Men's ego. I think I see ego a little bit different to everybody else. Like, I don't see ego just about you being cocky or you being a bit aggressive. Actually, I see ego in a sense when you think your opinion is a fact. When I kind of discovered that your ego can also be when you think you know everything, your opinion is a fact, you know better, or you know people better than they do. All of that is incorrect. Your ego will actually be your greatest enemy, or probably is your greatest enemy. It stops you from receiving your blessings. It stops you from connecting with people properly. It stops you with connecting to the world properly and understanding it. It can cause you a lot of pain. I'm not sure where our ego really comes from. I guess we have this human nature to want to control things. So if we can just start acting like we have the power of predicting, then we can control our environment, right? Nobody wants to walk in unsurety. But all we do is walk in unsurety. When I first discovered about like our ego being more than just I guess as the title says, am I a dickhead? When it was more than just that, I really started to discover things about myself. All the things that I believed about myself that were negative or weren't pushing me in the right direction, I had to let go because my ego thought I knew myself better. I question that because if I knew everything about myself, would I really put myself in bad situations? Would I really allow bad people in my life? Would my life ever be bad? So clearly there's something I don't know. The most freeing statement I ever had in my life was, Craig, what if you didn't know everything? And what if you didn't even know everything about yourself? Because when you begin to understand you don't know everything, then you have no expectations about the world. And when you don't know everything about yourself, you can become whoever you want to be. You no longer say, oh, I'm an introvert. I'm shy. I can't do public speaking. I can't model. I can't do this field. I can't do videos. But now look at where you are now. When you've let go of you assuming or predicting and thinking you know everything, you've been able to become greater than you ever thought you could be. So I question about ego. We act like it's our best friend and we use it as our main tool. Almost like when we speak to people, we face a situation, our ego steps in first before we even allow our heart to step in. So I have a different mindset about our ego and I'm not trying to make it my best friend. I'm trying to put that in the back seat. I'm trying to overcome it properly. And understand I need to control my ego because it doesn't serve me. It's like, use the fire, but don't burn yourself. So use the fight, use the eagerness, use the strength and power you have in yourself, but don't let it overcome you to think that you know everything and in every single situation that you're going to be right. Because you're not. Because you're not. Because you're not.
From when you were speaking, it seemed like it was you acknowledged and accepted that ego is always going to be a part of you. As we've obviously defined it, it's more about self. But when you obviously, just from that last bit you mentioned, is that you're talking about, okay, how do I suppress that or how do I put that on the back seat? Why do you feel that ego is something that can't be a part of you in that way? Why do you feel that you have to put that somewhere away from yourself, essentially, so that you can move forward? Why do you approach it like that?
I guess it was kind of like the journey of like Mr. Positive, for example. When you want to be positive and motivate people, you are making suggestions on what you think is the right way to do it. So you're trying to, it's almost like you're up here and then people and how they feel are down here. So you try to kind of reach your hand down and try to pull them up and drag them up, right? But to actually help people, the only way you can help them is by being where they are and walk with them. So my ego, or the way I saw the world or life in a sense, started to make me realize what I'm trying to aim or what I'm trying to gain is not working. I don't know everything about everybody. I don't know everything about the way the world's going to work. And yeah, I may have achieved something in my way, but it doesn't, not my way works for everybody. So as life began to show me like what I say or what I do or how I hold myself isn't for everybody, I start to realize, well, okay, if it's not for everybody, am I just completely wrong? Is there something I'm missing? And then I had to start to take a bit of a step back. Like, why do I think that way? Why? I think the book that kind of unlocked that for me was called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. The Power of Now basically talks about our greatest pain lives in time. And the time is basically the past and the future is where pain lives. But if you focused on being present, you won't feel any pain. But he attached that to ego. Because our ego makes us think that the past had to change and it had to be done in the way that we wanted. And then the future has to happen in the way that we expect it to be. But you don't, if you actually was in control of all of that information, you would never do anything wrong. You would never make wrong decisions. So that means you then realize, actually, there's no point thinking about the future because I don't know what's going to happen. And then thinking about the past is done. You're not going back. There is no time capsule. There is no change in it. It's happened because it happened for a reason. And the second part to it is, if you are happy with where you are today and grateful for a few things, all of those things that happened in the past that were the wrong way, the way that you didn't expect it to happen, they had to happen for you to be where you are today. Us thinking that we know everything is causing us pain. And one of the biggest things I'm trying to do is find my peace and help other people find their peace. I start to realize you need to let go of thinking that you know everything, and ego was a great attachment to that, in my opinion. So
I understand Craig's perspective. And to be honest, I find agreement with a lot of his perspective. The only place of disagreement I find myself is that I think Craig sees ego strictly a negative context. And I think I'm thinking about ego from a more philosophical or maybe even semantic level. Like, I'm looking at the definition of the word as opposed to what we attach it to. And that's the only difference that I think we have. But in terms of what he says, I find agreement in what he says. And from a psychoanalytical definition, ego is described as the part of the mind that mediates between the conscious and the unconscious, and is responsible for reality testing and a sense of personal identity. And I don't think someone, I guess, testing their own reality or understanding what is real or what is plausible, feasible, and what is not, and also who they are as a person, is a negative thing. I don't see it as a negative thing. But where I think what Craig says comes into play, though, is where we speak about mediating between the unconscious and the conscious. I feel like some people are living in the unconscious and also living and understanding life from a unrealistic level. Hence why it says responsible for reality testing. I feel like what some people have as an understanding or even a view of themselves and what is around them is unrealistic.
No, so do you know what? So that essentially, again, we're picking up so many words from this as well. And just exactly what you described is how I picture it to be when you have an expectation. When you're looking at, this is your reality, in your mind, your unconscious reality is, this is what it's meant to be. So that's when you start throwing your expectations about what the world should be like. And if the world doesn't meet that expectation, that's when your ego starts getting touched.
100%. Because some people realistically think that consciously, unconsciously, I am the greatest thing ever. And you need to be respecting me as the greatest thing. And the reason why I say ego can be positive is because, bro, there are some people that have that level of ego, and bro, they do well with it. Babe, if you believe something about yourself so much, you can make everybody believe it, bro.
Yeah.
Kanye West said, my presence is a present. And he made people believe that, bro. Some people think that Kanye West is the biggest genius in the world. And albeit Kanye West does have genius to his level of creativity, but is he the greatest mind of our generation? I don't think so, bro. He's very flawed. But he believes it himself. And sometimes when you believe something about yourself so much, others around you and others can start to believe it too. And it happens to a lot. I've seen a lot of people that are so egotistical that it's carried them right to the top. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, it's a dangerous place to be. Because when you believe you're greater than, even maybe greater than, I don't know if you're religious or not, but greater than who has created us, it's a dangerous place to be. Because that rise to the top will be an even more horrid and horrible fall to the bottom, bro. You understand? And you won't know how to deal with it because you don't understand why someone as great as me can actually fall off. How can I fall off when I'm so great? It can happen to anybody.
That's it.
And that's where we need the humility.
The line that resonates the most with most of the people I deal with is actually, our imagination is basically what causes us the most pain, not our reality. So, you suffer more in your imagination than you do in your reality. So actually, when you come to the whole ego thing, your ego is now making you think, well, your imagination should be your reality and it's not happening. So then that's when you're overcompensating in a sense. You're doing too much.
Exactly.
And then you also touched about the other part, which is the conscious and unconscious. Now, if you keep telling yourself that you're the greatest unconsciously, what's going to end up happening as human beings are habitual and routine, we will begin to believe it in our subconscious. Where to the point where not only will you... You wouldn't even have to start saying it anymore. You will just believe it in yourself and you start to move like that in the same sense. Again, as you said, it can be a very, very powerful thing in a good way and a bad way. Because it could be bad because you start moving differently, like, oh yeah, I'm the shit, I'm the best there is. And then you start stepping over people and everything like that. But just this again goes back to the first thing you said of overinflation. Or you can see that you are great and you are one of the best there is of who you are, of the person that you are, and you start moving in the level that you need to be moving, like with the way that God kind of God intended. He wanted you to be completely in full belief of yourself. He wanted you to think that you're the shit, because actually only you can do you. But when you start to think that who you are is better than others, now you're overcompensating. Again, that's why I told you, it's like, I'm backseating my ego because I don't want it to be the driver's seat. I want the person who I really am of myself to be the driver's seat. And then the ego can just chip in and keep pushing me ahead. But if I make him the driver's seat, he's going to start driving over all over people and all over the world and everything else. And then I'm at the back saying, hey, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. And I think that's the analogy that I see of it.
I agree.
Is that if you put him in the front seat, he's like driving everywhere. He's like, oh, we're just going to go straight. He's like, no, you got to turn this corner. But then the heart is left. He's like, no, just go straight over them.
That's a very good point, because I feel like what you're saying there, is related to what I was saying in terms of, you know, I guess how much ego we're allowing. You're not allowing to sit, like, you know what I mean? You see, when you got your regins, then where you got your girl, yeah? Really and truly, your girl should be sitting in the front seat, my guy. Yeah? Regin, you know what I mean? Just because of the respect that we're putting on our girlfriend, you understand? You know what I mean? She can't be going in the back and the man in the front. It's a disrespect. So what I'm saying is that I feel like it's the same thing with the ego. It's like, okay, cool, ego, I know you're there. And I can see what positives you had for me, but I know if I let you get too much power, you're gonna cause a madness. Me and my girl are gonna have a madness because of you, ego. You know what I mean? So put ego at the back. You get me? Because limit the ego's influence on our actions by putting him in the back. I like that. By putting it in the back seat, and who we have in the front seat should be our humility. Like a lot of what I do it not for me. I realize that I might not even get the accolades that I deserve maybe in the time that I'm here, but I don't really care about that, because I realize what I'm doing is actually to create the basis and the foundation for what happens or for who comes after me. Yeah. So I realize that, and I'm very happy with that. Yeah. A lot of things that I do in my career is not even about me either. It's about what can I do to make sure that I set the best example and also show that things are achievable. Yeah. Not for me, for them. And also the main goal that I have in my career is for me to build my own school that is dedicated to behavior issues. So, I tell you this to tell you this. When I tell people these things, they don't really understand that. Some people do get it and think it's really amazing, but a lot of people are like, why would you waste your time in dedicating so much of what you do to other people? There are two types of people in this world. Some people see our life to be about how much we can accumulate for ourselves, for the I. Other people understand that while we're here, we need to do as much as we can for we. Two distinct types of people. And I think that those who are dedicated to the I think it's because they are what? Too egotistical. Me and Craig and yourself, Simon.
Bars.
We've got our ego in the back seat. You see me? Ego's in the back seat, and we realize that what we can do for our people as a whole is in the front seat. That's more important. If I have a platform where I can affect loads of people and impact loads of people, I need to be doing that, bro. I can't just dedicate it all to myself. It's nonsensical and it's selfish. You get me? But that's my opinion.
Q&A time, question time. Let's see how we go. Craig, do you want? Have you got one? Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I got one. So, how has your ego affected you at work?
Yeah, like to be honest, ego's affected me the way where being in front of camera, everyone thinks it's about you. Yeah, but I quickly realized just how important the team is, and in fact, how little my importance is in comparison. And I also realized that with what I was doing, it wasn't about me. In fact, I was actually the conduit or the medium. There is a subject matter and information that needs to be communicated. There's an audience that needs to receive that information. I'm literally just in the middle. I'm here to deliver that to you. It's not about me. I needed to understand and know that what I do is not so much about me. It's about the amazing. Do you know how important sound is in TV? You know how important the sound man is? If my sound is messed, everything that we're filming and how good everything was,
Don't make no sense.
It's invalid. Dash it away. Because my sound man over here, who likes marking up my skin with sticky things, and he loves laughing because he knows I hate it, and we have a great relationship, he's so important. Yeah, but you don't see him. So whenever my shows came out, I used to always big up my whole team. I said, I know you guys only see me, but please understand this team right here is what has made this so so good. I'll be honest. If you think it's all about you, you're not really good. You have to understand this thing is bigger than us.
That's it.
So yeah, that's how it's played a part in my
Career. I think, I mean, obviously, likewise, like me and Aaron kind of work in a similar industry. Obviously, I work in media as well. So I definitely resonate with that in terms of being, you have to quickly realize that it's a team effort. You have to quickly realize that. I don't know how it would even be possible for someone in a team to say it's all about me, because you can't function by yourself. As we say, there's no I in team. This is a perfect example. I watched The Last Dance. Who watched that? Michael Jordan. He's the guy. Everyone knows he's the guy. Yeah, he knows he's the guy. He's got the ego. He's got the guy. He's the guy with a big ego. But he even himself has to admit that without Dennis Rodman, without Scottie Pippen, without them, man, what trophies would he have won? Nothing. He wouldn't have got nothing. He might have got the MVP because he was a good player. But in terms of the team, he ain't getting nothing, bruv.
Because even when their man were missing, look what happened.
Right.
They were losing, my guy.
Right.
And he's the big man. So I hear you.
There you go. So in terms of, for me, when it comes to work, again, my work ethic and the work that I do is it's never a solo effort. To be fair, if I'm honest with you, now that I think about it, the only time where my ego may kick in slightly is when I'm thinking about, okay, what am I worth? In terms of the role that I'm doing, when I'm not being appreciated and I'm not being... Well, not even respected, but not being appreciated, not being acknowledged for the work I'm doing. That's when my ego kicks in and goes, hold on a minute. I know who I am. I know what I'm worth. Why am I not getting this? And that's when I start thinking about me. I want to raise. I want to be able to do this. I want these opportunities. And that's when my ego kicks in. So I think there's definitely a level to my ego in work. But I always make sure that, especially when it comes to the process of putting together videos, putting together content, the ego isn't there. It can't exist, because the thing wouldn't function, and you know that.
I wouldn't even call that your ego. I would just call that your self value. I don't think you taking a moment to consider your valuation to a project, or your level of what you should be estimated as in terms of your value to a project should be seen as ego. I think it's just seen as self value or even self worth. And I think some people might say self worth is to do with ego as well, but I don't think it is. I think that's something that we need to do more. I think sometimes we underplay ourselves. We underplay ourselves and therefore underpay ourselves. You get me?
Literally.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, well, do you know what? I think I've got to the stage now where, like, this should be my day right now. Do you know what I mean? And if they can't pay it, then maybe I might have to step away until you understand that what I bring to the table is worth what I'm saying. Because it's never going to be unreasonable. None of us are out here trying to charge an arm and a leg. It's just what we deserve now, because we know the industry rate and we know what we've achieved. There's nothing wrong with that, bro. It's not ego.
So yeah, I'm a bit more of a solo kind of person. So obviously I did a lot of web development, which was more solo. When did my ego kind of kick in? when I first got into it, I quickly realized I had to do stuff for my clients more than anything else. And even that was kind of hard because it was like, well, you've obviously employed me to do the best work I can. So there's a part where I'm doing my best work, but then there's certain things that, like, there's like, okay, there's a budget. There's timing. The boss is saying that you need to just do a little bit less and so we can complete at the right time. I said, well, that's not right. So that was one thing. That's more of an easier way. I think, again, some of the stuff, like when I thought about ego, I've never really been, I'm not a roadman. I can tell you that. I'm not a roadman. I've never been no fights before, nothing like that. So it's never been in that kind of sense, but it's more of a, two things that actually affected me was one was work and one is relationships with people. So work, in a work sense, there's been times that I'm just having disagreements with my boss about certain things and I'm just like, I'm just standing my ground about it and saying like, yeah, he's just doing the wrong thing, etc. But you kind of have to just take the step back because sometimes you're overcompensating. You're trying to fight such a big cause, you're now overcompensating and you're now saying things that are beyond, that are questioning your integrity. Because before, obviously, I can say, yeah, look, it's going to take this time, this amount of this to do this. And then you stand your ground and you sit with it. But then sometimes you're just having a bad day and they're just out here trying to step on you. So then you start saying, look, I could just leave. Mm. And I know you need me. I could just leave. Thankfully for me, that works. But but there's been times when actually, you know what? You are just a cog in the wheel. They could just replace the cog, you know? So you always have to check yourself. And I do agree with the part about, sometimes you have to question your ego in the sense of when you're trying to look for more money in a sense. But I do believe it's more of a self-belief. I think a very interesting part, interesting line, when I ran an event before, there was a topic that was put on the screen. And it said to all the men, do you think you can stand your ground and be a good guy at the same time?
Yeah.
And the majority of men said no.
Oh, really?
Over 70% of the men believe that they couldn't stand their ground, like stick up for themselves and be a good guy at the same time. And I said, I believe you can. If you can stand your ground, that's all it is. And if a person's not going to accept your ground, you leave. Mm. But then they say, no, you got to be the bad guy to get. I was like, wow, okay.
It's because I believe that in the UK, we have a very passive aggressive culture. Because we try to be implicit all the time. Mm. I think the British way is to be, oh, I'm sorry. But I think, you know, and it's very implicit, very passive aggressive. And then what happens is if you got too much passive aggression, it's only a matter of time before it becomes aggression, bro. Mm. Oh, no, but I think this. No, but Aaron, no. We really think that 1,500 is... No, but I'm telling you, it's not. Yeah. And then before you know it, escalates.
It's like, am I a dickhead, blood?
Yeah, exactly. And the only way you're going to hear me.
You know, on the emails, as my previous email said...
Yeah. as we forementioned, I'm like, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, come on, my guys. But yeah, no, it's very interesting. It's very interesting.
Okay, cool. All right,
there's two parts to it. So how does ego affect your relationship with women? And do you think best relationships work when a man has control over his own ego or the woman has a level of understanding and can manage it accordingly?
Wow. Hey, I had a thought about this. Can I go? All right. So there has definitely been times I've had. So I'm going to be really honest with everyone, but we want to be completely real. We're not saints in this. Mm. I'm going to be really honest. There's been times in my relationships that I'm actually they're raising their voices. Something is just going wrong, and then sometimes you didn't do anything wrong, but they're being petty about it. What you class as petty, and then you're actually just thinking, am I actually a dickhead right now? You're raising your voice in my property, even on the phone, you're putting caps in the phone. And I'm like, I'm not that guy. I'm not even that. You're just losing it kind of
caps.
Thing. So that's definitely, you're putting the caps in. I'm like, and then they want to call you and then they want to start raising voice as well, you know? And I'm like, oh my. So you're like, you're actually starting to lose it. So that was the case where I would definitely say, we're not saints. This is where there's a level of control that is required, not just in relationships, but especially with relationships with women. Because it's almost like you care for each other too much. Or you're just thinking, I'm not one of your little friends. Mm-hmm. Like, but you are. At this point, with you being this petty, you are. The second part of the question is, how does it affect? Yes, it can. Your ego can start to really, because if you love and care for a person and show respect, as they say in the Bible, love is patient and love is kind kind of thing. That is not showing patience and kind. When you start shouting at each other, that's not it. Obviously, we're human, so we lose it. So The second part of the question says, do you think, basically, do you think men should be controlling it, or do you think women should be more patient with it? A bit of both, but I will always side with the person controlling themselves first.
There's so many things that you can associate with how your ego is enabled, essentially, when we're talking about trust. Again, we're looking at insecurities, we're looking at pride, we're looking at respect. All of those things get touched in some way or another when you're in a relationship. So when you're thinking about your first in a relationship, and I can just say only how maybe my ego may have been touched at some point in a relationship, is thinking about, okay, when you're first dating someone and you're thinking, oh, who else is she chatting to? Oh, why is this man watching her? Like, you're with a girl at carnival and someone else tries to wind up on her. Nah, bruv, don't do that. Don't do that, bro.
Do that,
I ain't a dickhead, bro. I'm not a dickhead, bro. Problems. Don't do that. It's all coming out. You see what I'm saying? So that's
someone's dying.
So I think that I agree with Craig in terms of the second part of the question. Definitely from the man's point of view, there needs to be a level of control. But I do believe, because women and men, obviously their egos are different. Their egos are very different. The way that's managed, the way that it comes out, the way they manage it is very different. So I think when a man has an ego that he has in a relationship, he needs to be responsible of that and have control of that. But I think the woman still needs to have the level of understanding that, how can I help manage his ego without pressing them buttons? As Craig was saying, don't be sending me them caps, don't be talking to me like I'm a little, like, you understand what I'm saying? Aaron, what are your thoughts in terms of relationships? So how do you get affected by it?
I think it's different. I wouldn't put it all the way down to ego. I think the ego transpires as a power struggle in relationships. And I guess some people might see that as an ego as well, but I think it's different. I feel like the reason why these problematic things happen is because we have a power struggle. We have men that still believe in the whole chauvinistic understanding of, you know, men should be in control and men should be the one in power. But then that's combated with females who understand that actually, no, we're just as powerful as each other. And just as much as you believe that you have strength for primacy, I too believe that I have strength and primacy too. So the problem we have here to deal with more than ego is just to, like, we need to understand that in relationships it's equal, my guy. Like, sometimes, yes, you're right, babes. Let me succumb to that and let me understand that I was wrong and let's move on. Yes, Aaron, you were right. I understand that. Let me succumb and let's move on. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of the issue that happens is because of the power struggle. Mm. We both think we're right. We both think we're in control. We both think that we're the boss. That's redundant. The best way to achieve a relationship with fluency is just to understand that we are in this together as equals.
Mm.
But even that question is problematic, because that question then straight away posits the understanding that men have an ego that women need to understand, or that men have an ego of understanding that we need to be in control. That to me posits gender roles.
Mm.
Would there have been a Barack Obama if it wasn't for a Michelle Obama? Michelle Obama is a deeply intelligent, powerful, strong female. Would he have taken the steps he's taken, made the decision that he did without her? It's questionable. Mm. So I think to ask a question in that way is problematic, because it straight away creates the gender role that we as the man is firstly in control and you've got to listen. And also that we as the man only has the ego, when actually women can have ego as well, just as strong.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So for me, it's all about equilibrium, equilateral, every equal word that exists. You see me? It needs to be used. You understand? Because it needs to be equal. That's the only way we're going to achieve a positive relationship. And I don't really believe in that. See me as a man, I've got no problem. I'm a man that I would say, babes, if you want to go out with your people, then go out with your people, then I would stay with the kids or whatever. You see me? I've got no problem with saying, babes, look, I can cook. Let me cook or something. You sit down, relax, and chill out. Babes, things need to be tidied up. Boom, let me tidy up the things there, man. You can chill out. And then also, I would expect the same back as well. Because why? This is equal. Mm. Equality. You understand?
Nice. And funny you say that, because that follows on to the next question when you said some women can also have a big ego. But why don't... So the question essentially is, why don't we associate ego as much with women, for one, and where does it even stem from? The fact that it's just a male ego, an egotistical thing is from... a majority from a male perspective. Where does that even stem from? How do we get to that point?
I could say that I believe that a lot of people see ego as kind of like aggression. Aggression, being cocky. Again, aggression and cocky, you don't really see much from, you don't really associate that with women straight away. As soon as somebody hears aggression or cocky, they probably imagine a man. Even men imagine a man. And women imagine a man for those two traits. So actually, there's a level of misunderstanding of what ego even is in the first place as to the reason why we associate more with men than we do with women. But when I even took a bit of time to look inside myself, I realized actually we're not very different from each other. What was the funniest part that I thought about ego for myself was when I believe that positivity was everything. That's ego. I believe my opinion is actually become a fact. But then if someone says, oh yeah, you always think it's supposed to be positive, someone on the outside will be like, but that sounds like a good thing, right? That's not ego. I said, no, that's your ego. You put place in your opinion as a fact and acting on it and almost overinflating it is actually a problem in a sense. So yeah, so so for me, when I realized actually even me being too good, like, you know, when he's like, it's like almost like you're aggressively a positive. It's like, forget how sad you are. Just lift yourself up and let's go. Like, no, but I'm crying. No, forget you're crying. Let's go.
Shut up, stop crying.
Let's go. I'll give you something to cry about. You see, understand? Yeah. So, exactly. It's like, you got too many good things. I'll give you something to cry about if that's the case. So it's like, yeah, that is actually ego.
But I think it definitely stems from, as you said, aggression. And again, what we're kind of bringing it back as well, we're talking about the expectation that men have, their entitlement, their pride, their insecurity. And I think it stems from whether it's like, I don't know, caveman days. We was the alpha male. We was the one that had to be in control. We couldn't show any weakness. We had to be the strength. And that's where our power came from. When we was looking out into the world and we saw another male, we had to show them that we was more dominant. And again, that's where that aggression comes from. So I think that still applies very much.
So it's within,
the man are still on that. Exactly. Man are still on that. When you're out in the world and you see a man on road, everyone wants to be the alpha male. They're the boss. They're the dominant one. Everyone has to be the alpha male because we're the warriors. We've been fighting for so long in our lives as the dominant people, as the men, as the ones that have to be the ones that go out there and get the food, have to be the hunters. So that's how I think it's just instilled in us to be like that. And I think we're now slowly trying to get to a stage, as you said, where we're looking at it more from a perspective of we can, it's not weakness, but we can be vulnerable. We can show those same emotions that women show. We can be nurturing. We can be loving. Why can't we be like that? Because when we do that, some people will think that that's a weakness and they'll start looking at us and thinking, oh, well, he's a pussy old then. Yeah, he ain't a boss. He's a pussy old. Like, why is he crying for, bro? You're a pussy. Don't cry, bruv. I'll slap you up. Like, it's just stupid. It's just stupid. And I think that's where it definitely stems from. And I think that we need to find a way in ourselves to get a level of understanding is we don't need to be the hard men like that day in, day out. We can't be like that, bro. Because how hard is it to live your life thinking that you're the boss, you're the alpha male, you're the one that can't be touched? Because when your ego does get touched, that's when you truly get hurt. And that's when we're talking about when your ego's too high and it gets elevated and you get touched. That's when you're pressing that button, the aggression comes out. And I think that's where it stems from. And I think we need to find a way. I don't have the answer, I'm just saying, but we need to find a way to find a solution to that because that's where I think a lot of the aggression and the problems come from, especially with black males on the street. No one wants to back down. And as Craig was saying, it's like, just look, if you're securing yourself and you know what's going on, if someone tries to step you, black, like, bruv, I'm out. I just walk away. Do you understand what I'm saying? Obviously, certain circumstances, it gets mad, but there
I
you go.
Smile nowadays.
That's it. Just I like, all right, whatever. Exactly. So it's just like, we need to find a way to
combat negative.
Right.
Positive.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, man.
Drake likes that one.
Cool. Aaron, so what are your thoughts on that last question? What are your thoughts on it?
I think the reason it's as problematic as it is because I think it's like sociological constructs that have now become aged or dated in regards to the way that ego has almost been completely wrapped up with misogyny, with machismo, with chauvinism, all of these understandings that we have about the word ego in regards to men and relationships is more to do with the whole, you know, as you said, the alpha male. But to be honest, that is a sociological construct that really hasn't got as much validity nowadays. Because, you know, we have female leaders. Mm. We have a phenomenon of stay at home dads. Mm. Something that would have been completely disgusted by people maybe in the '60s, you know what I mean? But these are real concepts that are happening now because we are not there yet, but we are moving towards a more level playing field. I've met some alpha females in my time, my guy, like, to the point where, and it might not even be physical. It might just be the level of alpha brain that they have. Like their brain is so powerful, their intelligence is so immense that I felt, woof, like, you know, I kind of got to raise my level even just to keep in a conversation with you. You understand? But we don't speak about that enough. It's like, it's almost like a lot of men are trying to hold on to the facts of, you know, men are alpha, women are beta. It's not that no more. We're both alpha, or sometimes a man can be beta. You know what I mean? And a woman is alpha. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like the reason why we don't see it as much in women is because we're still trying to hold on to those gender types, those stereotypes. But I feel like we're moving towards a time where it's changing. I'll be honest.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Wicked. Ah, beautiful, man. Listen, so what we're going to do now, we're going to wrap it up with a food for thought. So something that either we've taken away from the conversation, or at least something that we can give to our listeners, a very short soundbite of something that we've obviously pulled from the conversation. And then we'll wrap it up there, man. So Craig, if you want to go first, we'll get your food for thought and then we'll take it from there.
I think maybe during this conversation, people are wondering, like, how do we change this narrative? How do we change the ego? How do we, I don't know, take control, etc.? And I guess my one thing is spend more time with yourself. The lack of self-understanding is what is causing a lot of this misunderstanding of ourselves and other people. And I'm guarantee you, when you understand yourself more, you will have less judgment expectations of everybody around you. You would accept your journey, accept who you are, and you'd be like, okay, I see everyone is just on a journey and they're going to take their time when they need it. I don't need to start overcompensating. I just need to be cool with myself and then walk my journey. And everything will be just fine. It's all right.
Wicked. Aaron, do you want to go next?
From this conversation, what I've got is something that I previously had in my understanding, which is conversations with people, especially when they have differing perspectives to you, can be so enriching. Like, I feel like I've heard different perspectives to mine today, but I found truth, understanding, and knowledge from all of them. So conversations like this are so important. We can have different opinions, but we can still learn from each other.
Sick. Nice. For me, I think my main takeaway would be that understand that ego is... it's an emotion, and you can be used as a tool, whether it's for bad or for good. And I think the most important thing is to have a level of control over your ego, because ego can be misguided.
I like the way Craig said, the lack of self-understanding leads to misunderstanding. That one day is poetic. Jeez. I felt I would get my pen around that one.
take notes. Yes, man. Wicked.
That one day was wicked.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys, for listening to this. Thank you so much for sending in your questions. This platform obviously isn't just about us talking to you. We want you guys to get involved, to ask more questions, continue the conversation, and open up to us about your views and your experiences. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please like, share, and remember to follow us to stay up to date with all of our new content and events. So guys, thank you for listening. Aaron, thank you so much for your time. Craig, again, thank you for your time, and we'll see you guys soon.